This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network. APN. Technology, news, and information.
All in one place.
Was ist mit einer 1-2 in Europa? That's coming up next on the E911 Talk Podcast, episode 170, recorded Thursday, October 31st, 2013.
You're listening to the Avaya Podcast Network. Now here's your host, Mark Fletcher, Chief Architect for Worldwide Public Safety Solutions at Avaya.
Hey, it's Fletch with the Avaya Podcast Network, and we're here live at the Global Sales Conference 2014 in Anaheim, California, and I'm sitting down with a good colleague of mine, Marcus Bornheim, who's a consulting sales engineer and the public safety architect for Europe. Welcome.
Thanks, Fletch.
Good to have you here.
Excellent, yeah. Good to be here again.
So we usually hang out over on your side of the ocean, over in places like Latvia and Riga.
Yeah, so, but sometimes it's good for me to come over to see what is going on in the U.S. over here.
Yeah, then you can see that what I'm saying is not all lies.
Yeah, right.
So many people consider you the eyes and the ears of Avaya in Europe. What's happening? What are the big initiatives right now over in the European Union?
So I think what we see right now is there's a couple of things moving on and moving forward to achieve something like we have seen in North America with NINA i3, to achieve something comparable to that in Europe over there as well, called the Next Generation 112. So to cope with all of the issues that we have around public safety and emergency calling. This is, let's say, a work in progress from a legislation perspective. So the EU, European government is working on that, is trying to evaluate what needs to be done. But there's one thing especially which is really moving forward, which has gone through all of that and which has come to a decision to make this a law on a European level and to implement that law within 2015, which is the so-called eCall.
Now, eCall is similar to what folks in the U.S. know as OnStar, which basically is location services and telemetry services of data for a vehicle that's crashed.
Yeah.
How is the eCall system going to work? I mean, is it deployed today or is it...
It's not yet deployed. So from a technological perspective, it's based on what we have available in Europe as from a network perspective, mobile operators perspective. It's built onto the GSM network. So it's using in-band modem signaling as the transport mechanism before the call is passed to a human being. So you need to consider this of being an automated call set up by an in-vehicle car system at the time of crash. This raises an automatic call to 112. It's for the network, it's just another 112 call, so nothing very special. But on the other hand, definitely when the call is established and received at the PSAP, the first thing that's been done is the in-vehicle system is sending the geo-coordinates and some other information of the car in accident in order to help the call taker to identify where the call has been raised geographically.
And again, this comes as in-band audio, so special processes have to be in place on the control room or the emergency center side that's answering that call, so the appropriate equipment can be bridged in with the audio to decode those signals.
Yes, and this is exactly what we see, how different, let's say, vendors of these modems are going to work with it. So I think they have chosen this kind of technology, which isn't the latest and greatest technology right now. They have chosen this because it's backwards compatible somewhat with the existing infrastructure from the mobile operator's perspective, but also from the existing PSAPs. So what the PSAPs that are in charge of receiving these 112 e-calls need to do, they need to upgrade their current infrastructure with these kind of modems, e-call modems, which then extract at the incoming call the data, which is transmitted, and present this at an interface to the application, to the call taker application. And then after that, forward this call through the ACD system to the real person to be able to talk to the people in the car.
The big difference between that and the U.S. is in the U.S., the additional data is actually retrieved by the emergency emergency call taker based on a caller ID that's been originated.
Right.
And in Europe, it's a push of that data in band as audio that's decoded. The nice thing about that is really any device that can transmit audio can now technically transmit e-call data.
That's an interesting approach because, well, I think what people have been thought so far is that the use of these in-vehicle systems is something very automated and standardized, so no human interaction necessary. You could push a button in order to raise an e-call manually, but it's all automated. The interesting thinking, which you just mentioned, is why couldn't this be any other system as well, any other device connected to the mobile network, which could raise e-call-like information and which could give additional information to the call takers? That's an interesting approach, where I'm not sure if people have thought about this initially when they have created e-call.
Well, that's something that you and I can discuss at the ENA conference coming up. And where are we? We're going to be in Warsaw, Poland this year, I believe, right? Or next year?
Yeah, next year in April, beginning of April, Warsaw, Poland, yes.
So they're going to be talking about the applications, and they're going to be, e-call is going to be another big topic. I know that ENA is going through the final list of presentations now and the agenda for the conference. So it'll certainly be interesting to see what comes up with that. What do you see as the big difference in European from an enterprise perspective? Do you see a lot of uptake on PBXs being concerned with 112 calls like we have here in the US in 911?
I think this is a topic which is not yet widely discussed. So I had the chance to talk to a couple of PSAP operators over the past month, and I've always asked the question if they are seeing calls which they can't identify where they're coming from, so roaming IP phones, remote workers and all that stuff. The answers I got was no, not that much. From time to time we get a call where we have a completely different address from what the person who is calling is giving us. I think there's not that much awareness of that these situations are likely to happen right now, but I think with the adoption of let's say more SIP connectivity and SIP trunking, centralized SIP trunking for a whole enterprise, this is becoming more and more relevant right now, so we should be better prepared to have an answer for that one.
They have similar models in Europe and multiple models. They're regionalized local models. There's statewide and countrywide models. So how each individual country deals with 112 is very, very different. And, you know, if you look at Europe, you guys have countries like we have states.
Yes.
So state to state, you've always got a national policy overhead.
Yeah.
But across Europe, that's why the European Union really exists.
Right.
With the member countries.
Yes, and just think about this. What does it mean for a European-wide operating enterprise to have a centralized SIP trunk and to have this centralized for Europe? So what would happen if someone in the UK raises a call to 999, the UK local number, if the centralized SIP access is in Germany?
Right, or in Latvia,
yeah,
or somewhere. I mean, it takes the US problem and it exasperates it even further.
Yeah.
I use big words like that once in a while. Yeah. I hope I used it correctly. I really appreciate you sitting down and talk. We don't get to chat face-to-face but once a year, so it's great that you got to come over to Anaheim, California, to the sales conference.
Thanks, Fetch.
You're listening to APN, the Avaya Podcast Network. Find us on the web at avaya.com/APN.